Bibles to 2 Samuel, chapter 16. 2 Samuel, chapter 16. I'm going to read just a few verses this morning, but I'll be making reference back to the 15th chapter and on later in the 16th chapter. I encourage you to read that down for the day today. I don't know if you take notes or mark certain passages as you go through, but in the first verse it says, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill," underline that, "a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, And where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore the kingdom of my father." I'll stop reading there this morning. And I hope that you'll allow me, just not trying to take away anything from the Word of God or to add to it, but if you'll allow me just to glance back at what's occurring and also glance forward at what's occurring in the life of David. David, in the 15th chapter, records the news that came to him when the hearts of the people turned from David to Absalom. And Absalom started to gather together a group of men to seek out David, I believe, to take his life. I think that was his goal. Now, what made this so sad is the fact that Absalom was the son of the king. And he was still the king. David could have had Absalom executed any time he wanted to. He was still the king. He sat on the throne. He had plenty of money and plenty of power. But instead he makes the decision to gather together 200 of his great warriors. And he starts on a journey over Kidron into the wilderness. And when he's leaving Jerusalem, I know there's some here that has visited Jerusalem. And you know, when you go through the Kidron Valley, the first thing that you face coming out of the Kidron Valley is the Mount of Olives, Mount Olivet. That same mountain where Jesus gave His discourse in Matthew 24 on the coming of the Son of Man and when He would come back to this earth. And He starts up that mountain with this on His mind. The Son that He loved has betrayed Him. The people that He has served has turned their hearts on Him. By the way, people are fickle. They'll change quick. They'll be the best of friends today, but they'll also be the worst of enemies tomorrow. And here everything is closing in on David. And the first thing that he faces when he gets ready to leave is a mountain. And he starts up the Mount of Olives. And when he gets up to the top of the mountain in verse 32, he worships God. Now we know on that mountain, on the Mount of Olives, just above it is another small hill that rises called Mount Scopus. Mount Scopus is the area where you can look out over all the old city and see the entire old city. Many of you have seen pictures of groups with Jerusalem behind them and the group in front along a stone wall. That's on top of the Mount of Scopus. So he comes first to the Mount of Olives and then he worships God there. Now isn't that a strange thing to do? When your son has betrayed you and the people have betrayed you and you're leaving your home and your belongings behind and you're going into the wilderness, not knowing what you're facing tomorrow, the first thing he does as he climbs the mountain is he takes time to worship God. And during that worship experience,
something happens in the life of David. Because David realizes, as he's climbing up this side of the mountain, God has already sent somebody on the other side of the mountain to climb up with some help when he gets to the top. Oh, I feel preaching coming on this morning. The truth of the matter is, we all face hills in our lives and mountains in our lives that we have no control of what the mountain will be. We don't pick the time that we get in difficult places. We don't choose the time that we reach a place where that we feel like the world's caving in around us. Our problems never seem to attack us. When we're up, it seems to come when we're down. And then when you're in the middle of all of that, all you can see all around you are the mountains that you have to climb. And you think, I'll not be able to make it to the top of the mountain. But he realized if he was going to get there, he had to worship God. The most pure worship that God will ever receive from any of us is the worship that we give to God when we're in the midst of trials and we're looking to the Lord and saying, God, now nothing's going right. I really don't know how these things are going to turn out. I really don't know what the results of all of it's going to be. But Lord, I'm going to go ahead and worship you anyway. I'm tired and I don't think I can make it to the top of the mountain. But Lord, I'm going to go ahead and worship you anyhow. The doctor says cancer's in my body and there's nothing they can do about it. But I'm going to go ahead and worship you anyhow. Those around me say that my job's not secure. I'm not going to be able to make it. But Lord, I think I'll just go ahead and praise you anyhow. Everybody says that it's not going to be able to come out all right and that it's messed up and God will never put it all back together again. But Lord, I tell you what I think I'll do. I'll just go ahead and bless your name anyhow. Thank you for what you brought me through. It might be God that the devil's telling me that I'll never be able to work for you again. But Lord, whether I'm on the throne or not, you're always on the throne. So God, I'll go ahead and worship you anyhow. And somehow through that praise and that worship to God, God heard the cry of his servant. And then the Bible has that wonderful phrase, when he got just a little past the top of the hill, when he got on the other side of the hill, God already had a servant there waiting on him. God had already gone before him and said, David, what the problem was, all you can see is this side of the mountain. On this side of the mountain was all the troubles and trials. On this side of the mountain was all the heartache and sorrow. But what you couldn't see, David, I've already gone before you. And just on the other side of the mountain, just a little bit past the top of the mountain. Now, I don't believe he'd have made it to the top if he didn't stop and worship God. But he had sense enough to know, I'm going to worship God. I'm stopping at God's filling station. I'm getting my heart filled. And I'm going on to the top of the mountain. I'm not going to stay in the valley forever. I'm not going to stay in the midst of trouble forever. I'm going to get to the top of the mountain. I know that my men are tired. I know that I'm weary. But somehow, someway, I'm going to get to the top of the mountain. And when he got just on the other side of the mountain, there was Ziba waiting on him. What a person that God picked to be there. Because we know Ziba's role all through the scripture was a servant. You'll find out every time that you think you can't go on and you get to the place that you think you can't go any further, God will already be working on the other side of the mountain and he'll always have a servant there for you. A servant to meet your need. A servant to help you and to help those you love, because the blessing is just a little past the top of the mountain. So you have to make up your mind, am I going to stop climbing or am I going to keep going for God? Just over the other side of the mountain, she came and said, I've got the rest you've been looking for. Here's these donkeys. David said, who are those for? Those are for you and your family. David, your walking days are through. Aren't you glad when you get so tired in life, you can't put one foot in front of the other? God says, that's all right. You rest a little while and just let me carry you. I'll carry you through when you're so tired that you can't put one foot in front of the other. I'll carry you right on through and help you get to the other side. God says our walking days are over and we find rest in Him. Then there was those summer fruits. The summer fruits was for the young boys, the young men that was with them. You know what they did during the summertime? They had a big celebration. And when they'd have that celebration, they'd bring out the summer fruits. And they'd offer them first to the young boys. And the young boys would sing and dance and praise God for the blessings that God had given them in the summertime. They knew God was going to see them through the heat of the summer. And they rejoiced and had a time of celebration. Oh, friends, I've got news for you. Just on the other side of the mountain, there's rest. And there's also rejoicing. Thank God a celebration begins when they get to the top of the mountain, and just a little bit past the top of the mountain, that's when the rejoicing begins. I know that a lot of folks don't like shouting, and I know a lot of folks don't like loud preaching, and I know a lot of folks don't like getting blessed, but if you don't like those things, you sure came to the wrong place this morning. I'm glad that we've still got a few saints of God left around, that every now and then they get blessed, and God pours His power out on top of them. I was raised in old time churches. I was raised in churches that didn't matter what the name on the door was, when the power of God come, little old saints of God, you remember well, the little ladies would open up those big pocketbooks, and every one of them had the same thing inside, a little folded up hanky. And when they reached down and got that little flower hanky, you knew that we were getting ready to go to the next level. God was getting ready to do something in the church. Folks, we can live our life and grab our loop on the ground and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Or we can come to church and say, that's just on top of the mountain. And God's got some rejoicing for us on the other side of the mountain. So I'll go ahead and praise God and thank Him for what He's going to do. There's rest there. There's rejoicing on the other side of the mountain. Hallelujah. Tell you something else. They had some wine. Juice for the journey. What was it for? Refreshing. Refreshing was just a little bit past the top of the mountain. So just in case you get tired and you get weak and you don't think you can go on, here's a little bit of juice to help you get to the other side and to keep going. When are we going to understand we have two roles in this? We will either be on one side of the mountain climbing toward the blessing, or we will be on the other side of the mountain bringing the blessing. I don't know about you, but I really don't care which one God uses me for. Sometimes it'll be that I'm on this side going up. By the way, I've never got to the top of the mountain. When I just got over on the other side, God always had somebody there for me. Always. God might allow us to be the person coming with our arms loaded to be a blessing to someone else. Oh, Lord, I thank You this morning. Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, I don't know who did it. I don't really. It's not my business. There's a lot of things go on that you don't ever hear. You don't know. God knows. And I'm not doing this to embarrass anyone. But a few weeks ago, there was probably, I think, three widows I know of called me up on Monday morning and said, "Preacher, somebody handed an envelope to me through one of the men of the church." And I said, "Well, bless your heart. No, you don't understand. There was money in it. I don't know who put that in there." "Do you know who put that in there?" I said, "Yes, I do." "Who?" "God." How many times have some of you pulled up in this parking lot, turned your automobile off and took the keys out and said, I think I'll just quit. I'm going to church and I'm not getting anything. I'm just wrestling around with the kids, or things are getting worse. My health's not getting any better. Things aren't changing on the job. It's getting worse day by day. But all of a sudden you walk through the door just a little past the top of the mountain. And the service gets to moving, and out of the clear blue, somebody comes from all the way over here, all the way back over to where you are, hug your neck and whisper in your ear and say, "I've been praying for you this week." Thank God for the Zybus. I've heard Brother Howard mention many times, and Howard, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I can take it, but this is just my memory. I'm getting older. My memory's not too good. But I think he was 40 when he lost his job, started college, and found out baby Benji was on the way. 40. Now you think about that. No job, starting college, and finding out you've got another child on the way. Unemployment, used to, it wasn't like it is now. I mean, 12 or 13 weeks and that was it. Nothing else. I've heard Howard stand time and time again and say, "Go home, there'll be a bag of groceries sitting on the front porch." Thank God for Ziba. Glory, glory, glory. How many times have folks laid in the hospital bed and thought, "Nobody cares about me and nobody's around and nobody really understands what I'm going through," and out of the clear blue, one of you pop your head through the door, have a little card in your hand and say, "I'm thinking about you." Oh, glory. Some of you this morning have wandered into this place, maybe today and over weeks past, and you're going through a tough time in your life and things have turned around, and maybe you'd attended the same church for years and years, and nobody knows. Nobody knows until you go through that, where you're trying to find a place to feel at home and worship God and let your wounds heal. And the devil kept saying, "You're a stranger. You're a stranger. Don't go there. What you ought to do is just get aggravated and not go anywhere." I've seen it happen to preachers. I've seen it happen to singers. I've seen it happen to deacons. I've seen it happen to church leaders all across this land. Just sit at home. Nobody will know the difference anyway. But for some reason, you had to overcome that and climb the mountain. And you put the key in the car and you drove those few miles and sat outside for a few moments and thought, "I don't really know that many people in there. What am I doing there?" But you're here this morning. And you know why you're here? God's going to let us be a Ziba to you. Oh, glory. We may not keep you forever, but we can bless you while you're here. We can say, "Here's a little juice for the journey. Here's a little food to give you strength back in your soul. Here's a little place that you can come and sit and rest and let God fill your heart." Oh, I wish you'd shout or do something today. Thank God that God allows us to be a servant and work for God. God doesn't have to do that, but He lets us do it. Just a little past the top of the hill. I was going through a thing here a while back. No one knew anything about it, but probably my wife. One of my deacons, I won't call them by name, walked up to me and whispered in my ear and said, "You keep preaching it, and you keep doing right, and no matter what you do, you remember, I'm praying for you." Thank God that was my Ziba. When we came to this church, wasn't very many months after we were here, my boy was born and wound up 14 or 16 days in intensive care, neonatal ICU over in Kentucky. Through that period of time, we thought, "We've got no problems. We've got plenty of insurance." The insurance company bankrupted. We didn't have anything to pay the bills. I couldn't tell you the times that month after month the bill would be coming due. And the church, they gave me my salary, but what a lot of folks, I didn't say anything. The hospital at that time, they weren't a non-profit hospital. I don't know what they are now. But they cleaned out our entire savings, made us sell all of our property. We had two cars. We had to sell one, keep the other, give all of it to the hospital. They can do that, you know. I've given and given and given, and I thought, what am I going to do? And I could not tell you the times that I knew the bill was due on Monday. Somebody would come along, give me a hallelujah handshake. It always equaled that minimum payment or more. You were my Ziba. Oh, God, I thank you. God lets us be a servant. God lets us bless others and help others. Some of you, maybe that's unsaved, that you're struggling to get to the top of the mountain, struggling to get to Calvary. Sometimes you may feel a pressure because you think people are singling you out and they're coming to you and just, they've targeted you. But what it is you're on this side of the mountain. You've never been on the other side of the mountain yet. But you'll find out they're not out to harm you, nor to embarrass you. They're out to bless you. They're just trying to get you to Jesus. They love you. You know what amazed me? God blessed him and brought him through it. And the first thing that happened, when they start off the mountain, they come to Shimei. And Shimei starts throwing rocks at David. But David had a man by the name of Abishai. So here's Shimei throwing rocks at David. And Abishai steps up and says, well, let me read it to you. Look here in verse 9. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Every church has got a Shimei. Every church does. Shimei's been dead for years and years and years. But his ancestors and kin moved to Ohio. You've got rock throwers that after you get the blessing, they're going to throw rocks at you. But thank God for the Abishais that'll stand up and say, I pray thee, Lord, let me take his head off. I think every time we meet an Abishai, we ought to make him a deacon. What do you mean? Standing for what's right. Saying there's some things that the devil's out to take. Not only will God give it to you, but the devil will turn right around and try to take it back. Constant warfare. It's a constant battle to get there. It's a constant battle to get it. And then it's a constant battle to keep it. But thank God for those that are willing to say, it's worth the battle. It's worth the cost. I'll pay the price. And Lord, if I can be a servant, I'll be a servant. And then during the time I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain, oh God, help me to worship you and understand you're sending somebody up on the other side of the mountain that's loaded down with the blessings of God that's going to bless me. Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter how big the hill is. Just a little past the top of the mountain. If I hear one more Christian that attends another church in this town tell me how we can't build anything, I'm going to call on an Abishai. How long do we have to sit around and say, we can't, we can't, we can't, we can't? That's what kept you in bondage and sin for years and years and years. The devil telling you, you can't live it. It's not real. You can't get it. You can't know. He always uses that word can't. But you've got to understand, sometimes he's right. We can't. But when we can't, God will send somebody that can. I tell folks constantly, if you need anything, let me know. If I don't have it, usually I know somebody that does. And I'll do my best to get it to you. Doesn't matter whether it comes from me or you or someone else. It's all from the hand of the Lord in the end anyway. And God gets the glory for all of it. So listen, don't let the devil tell you you can't. You just worship God and climb on up to the other side of the mountain. Just a little past the top of the hill. Thank God. God's waiting with a blessing for you. It'll be worth it. You can. Two things I suppose we need to pray for this morning. We need to pray for those that are climbing the mountain. God will encourage their faith. They'll worship God in the faith. And then if you're not climbing the mountain, I suppose we need to pray for everyone else that's not climbing the mountain because of the trouble that's chasing them. We need to pray, God, help us load up the wagons. And we'll climb the mountain too. Not because the enemy's chasing us, but because we want to be a servant to someone and a blessing to someone. Oh God, give us a servant's heart. We have a servant's heart. God will honor us. And God will bless us. Just a little past the top of the hill. Will you stand together? Your heads bowed and the musicians come. Brother Howard comes. They'll sing in one moment. Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Glory, glory. Just a little past the top of the hill. Every head is bowed for one moment. No one's looking on. You be real honest with me. Christian and sinner alike, doesn't matter. If you're climbing steep places right now, and the hill in front of you is high, you're climbing it. Big mountain in front of you. You're coming up on the rough side of the mountain. You'd like for us to pray for you. They're not looking on. Every head is bowed. Would you just raise your hand all over the sanctuary? Christian, sinner alike, I'm on the rough side of the mountain. Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up. God bless you. Bless your mom, dad. Bless your sis. Bless your brother. God bless you. Someone else. I'm on the rough side of the mountain. Someone else. Just slip up your hand right now. Just slip up your hand right now. Preacher, I'm on the tough side right now. It's rough. It is so rough. Oh, I am struggling, cow. I am struggling. I'm going to keep worshiping God. I'm going to do what's right, but I need prayer. I need my faith strengthened. I need encouragement. God bless you. Hands are going up. God bless you, sis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone else, just slip up your hand. That's me, cow. Pray for me. God bless you, sis. Bless your heart. Someone else. Someone else. God bless you. Bless your heart. There's those that things are going good right now. And you really haven't picked a mountain to climb. You haven't loaded the wagons down. Things are going all right, but you need to be a servant. You'd say, preacher, you pray for me. Pray for me that God will make me the servant that He wants me to be. Ziba didn't do anything for their own recognition. What they were doing for God. Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up right now? God bless you. God bless you. Oh, give me a servant's heart. God bless you. Bless your heart. God bless you. Hands are going up all over the sanctuary. Somebody else, just slip it up right now. Slip it up right now. God bless you. Bless your heart. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Bless your heart. God bless you. Now listen. The only way you'll make it to the top of the mountain if you're on the rough side and get just past the top is you've got to get to the place where you worship God. Oh, God. The only way that you'll be a servant is you have to take that first step of faith to start saying, I want to climb the mountain too. I want to be there waiting on someone when they get there. Isn't it wonderful the times in our life that God just moves on us? And by the time the need gets there, He's already put you in place to be the blessing. Pray the prayer, to hold the hand, to be a help. Isn't it great that God puts us in that kind of a place? He does that for us. Right now, what you need to determine, I'm going to take that step of faith and I'm going to come.